Turning your Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 943. If not, you'll just have to find it. The book of Jonah. And we're going to read out of chapter number 1. The book of Jonah. It's only 4 small chapters. The easiest way is to go to Matthew and start going backwards. You'll come across it there. And I'll give you just a moment to find your place. I've really enjoyed the service so far today. It's been a good spirit. Appreciate Brother Allen opening up. Appreciate the choir singing. It's been good to be here. We just had a good week overall. Good to be in revival and be with Brother Dwayne. And up at Zionville, that was a blessing. But it's been a busy week. Seems like it's been a long time since we've been here at church. I guess just not being here Wednesday night. But it's been the same as always last Sunday. All right, if you found your place, we're going to read in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 3 down through verse number 7. The Bible said, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.' And they said every one to his fellow, 'Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for letting us be here today. I want to thank you for your blessings, and I want to pray for your help. Lord, it's already been mentioned, but the families that have lost loved ones this week, and it's just been a lot of tragedy in our county, and Lord, you know who all's involved, and Lord, I pray you just speak to each heart as only you can. Those that were up at the restaurant last night and saw the wreck, and Lord, there's families up there and a lot of people and just a lot of people upset over that. Lord, I pray you'd help them. Dear God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts today from the Word of God. I pray that you would help us. I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would go forth and accomplish what you want it to do. Lord, we know that your Word will not return void. And so, Lord, we ask for your help right now. And I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's read verse number 7 one more time. That's where I'm going to start this morning. But the Bible said, "And they said every one to his fellow, 'Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." And I got to thinking about this passage of Scripture, and I just wondered, you know, he was going down to Tarshish, the Bible says. I wonder if they had casinos down there. You know, sort of like Cherokee or Las Vegas, or I've heard about Monte Carlo, places like that where people get away to gamble. I just wonder if maybe they had casinos down there. And the reason I wonder that is because it seems to me like Jonah was a mighty big gambler. the law in Scripture, what it's talking about here in verse number 7, the law is associated with gambling. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was crucified and the Bible says that they cast lots for his garments? What they did, they were gambling. They were gambling, sort of like we might think about somebody would play dice or play cards or something like that. They gambled for the garments of the Lord Jesus because they didn't want to rip them in half. And so lots in the Bible, when it's talking about that they cast lots, that's what they were talking about. On a ship of sailors, or here the Bible calls them mariners. That would be just like I can imagine today on a ship, or a lot of times anywhere you've got a lot of men together that are working. They might in their off time play poker, or kids, when you read about years ago, they'd pitch pennies, and men have always gambled and taken chances and things. And so they had those lots on that ship probably just for entertainment purposes, and they probably gambled and played games when they had downtime as they were sailing. But I notice in verse number 7, the Bible says, "And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." Now look what the Bible says. "So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." I notice there in verse number 7 that it was they who gambled, and it was Jonah who lost. They cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now, on Jonah's behalf, I really don't believe that he was going down to Tarshish to gamble. I just said all that by way of introduction. I don't believe he was on there for the purpose of gambling with these men. You see, Jonah, he wasn't into that small stuff. He wasn't into just casting lots, playing a game of chance just for entertainment. Jonah's gambling was on a much larger scale, and Jonah's gambling actually begins in verse number 3. Where the Bible said, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And I want to try to preach today on the subject, "I'll take my chances." Have you ever heard anybody say something like that? "I'll take my chances." Sometimes people will say that when they are getting ready to make a decision, and it's a questionable decision. Maybe somebody comes along and says, "I really don't think you ought to do that." And they'll say, "Well, I'll take my chances." And I believe that's how Jonah's attitude was here in the Word of God. And I want to point out some things that he was taking some chances with. And we're going to begin verse number 3, somewhere up around there. We'll go back to verse number 1 in a moment. But Jonah really was taking some chances. And I want to say, first of all, today that he was taking some chances by denying his calling. Now, the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, about Jonah, the Bible says, "which he spake," talking about the Lord, "which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet." If you study about Jonah in the Bible, he's only mentioned in 2 Kings, and he's mentioned here. But according to the Bible, we find out that Jonah was at least two things. Jonah was the servant of the Lord, and Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was a man of God. He knew what it was to serve the Lord. He knew what it was to speak on the Lord's behalf. Jonah, if you look and study all that passage out over in 2 Kings, Jonah had been used of God to speak the word of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord was upon his ministry. But we find here when we come to the book of Jonah that Jonah denies the call of God upon his life. The Bible said in chapter 1, verse number 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying..." And so we find that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah here. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament prophets, this is how it worked. God spoke to them, and they went and spoke to the people. That's how it worked. And Jonah, he's God's servant. Jonah is God's prophet. So here Jonah is, and we find in the very first chapter that Jonah gets a word from God. And so the job of the prophet is to not decide whether or not he wants to preach the message or to filter it or compromise it or say, oh, I'll do that later. His responsibility was to go and preach the word of the Lord. And so the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. But Jonah, instead of doing what God told him to do, Jonah says, in effect, he's not going to do it. Most of you are familiar with the book of Jonah, and we'll see what happens here in a little bit. But God said to go and tell, and Jonah said, no, I'll just take my chances. I'm not going to do that. Do you know this morning, if you are saved by the grace of God, you and I belong to the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches us. And I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I want you to keep your place here. But I want to read some verses over there, and I want you to underline them in your Bible. You and I need to know today that if we are one of God's children, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. Because He has redeemed us, because He has saved us by His marvelous grace, God has something for you and I to do. Now that's exciting to me to think about, that God has a call, and I'm not talking necessarily about just the call to preach, but God has a call upon each and every one of our lives. God has a purpose for all of our lives. That is one of the main questions that people ask. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And what am I supposed to do? Now, if you're a child of God, there's an answer to every one of those. What are we supposed to do? God's got something for all of us to do. Now, to me, that's exciting. I'm interested in doing what God wants me to do. And He has a claim upon my life. He's got a claim on your life. Young and old alike. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, the Bible says, what? Question mark. It's Paul writing here. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Paul said, don't you know that? The Holy Ghost is in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. Why not? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I find out in the Bible that I'm not my own anymore. I belong to Him. He bought us with a price. He paid the price. I heard a preacher preaching a while back, and he said something like this. He said salvation wasn't free. He said, I didn't get off scot-free. He said, somebody paid my price. It is a free gift of God, but don't think that it didn't come with a price. It came with a great price, the price that Jesus Christ went to the cross and He died and He shed His blood for you and I so that we could be saved. He's bought us. He has redeemed us. He has bought us from the slave market of sin. And because of that, we belong to Him. Our lives, my past, my present, my future, it belongs to Him, not to me. And so God's got a call upon all of our lives. I think it's Romans 11:30 says the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. It means that God doesn't change His mind about what He's doing. I've only really thought, I don't even want to say seriously, but I'll put it like this, entertain the thought of quitting preaching about one time. You know, if you do anything for any amount of time, you're probably going to come to a place where every once in a while you think about giving it up. Think about quitting. I've thought about that before. I've entertained that before. I remember when we lived in Idaho and I was pastoring the church out there. We had just a few hard things. And it wasn't the church. It was some of the people in the church. That's the way it always is. Man, that people can give you gray hair sometimes. They can cause you to lay awake at night. And they can cause you to say, man, I don't know if this is worth that or not. And I got to entertaining in my mind. And you know, that's how the devil is. Is this really worth all this? Surely there's a better way to make it through this life than to go through all this heartache and grief. And I got to thinking about that. I remember I was watching golf on television. And they was advertising this, you can go to school in North Myrtle Beach to be a golf pro. Give lessons. I sent off for one of them catalogs. I remember it coming in the mail, you know, and I got to thinking about that in my mind. I thought, I could do that. I could do that. I'm not talking about playing professionally, but I could do that, and I thought, I'm still young enough. And, you know, I just began to entertain that in my mind. And I remember when that thing finally came in the mail and I went out to the mailbox and got it, I didn't even really look through it. I knew better than that. But while it was on the way, I was thinking about it. Surely, wouldn't God allow me to sort of work around the fringes and do something else another way? But here's what it boils down to. I wasn't willing to take a chance on that. There's too much involved for us to just go along in our life and just, oh, I'm going to do a little this and do a little that and all what I wanted to. But now Jonah, here, he had made up his mind, God, I'm not doing that no more. I'm going to get a ticket. I'm getting out of here. And I'm going somewhere else, and I believe Jonah had in his mind to do something else. Jonah said, I'll take my chances, and I'll deny the call of God upon my life. Then he said this, number two, he took chances. He defied God's command upon his life. Now, I don't know that it wasn't that Jonah didn't want to be a prophet, but Jonah really didn't want to go preach that message. He defied God's command to him. Verse number two, the Bible said that God said to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God said, go. Jonah said, no. Jonah not only said no, but I think if you study this out, you'll find that he pretty much went in the opposite direction that God told him to go. And notice in your Bible that the Bible says that Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now that's just silly. That is just, if Jonah had stopped to think about it, which obviously he's not in his right mind, he should have known that he is never going to get away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah is familiar, no doubt, with the book of Psalms. He's a prophet. He's a man of God. He ought to have known about what David was writing about in Psalms 139 and verse number 7. David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? David is singing the same thing. Where could I go to get away from God? And he said in verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. No matter how high you can go, you can't get away from God. There's astronauts orbiting in the International Space Station right now. They're a long ways away from Earth, and they'll be gone a long time, but they're not so far away that they're away from God. He said, if I go up into heaven, there you are. He said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Now when he said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, he was saying, if I could catch a ride on the sun, and I could cross the sky and go all the way where the sun ends up on the by the end of the day, he said, I'd find out God's there too. There's nowhere you can go to get away from the presence of the Lord. In verse 11, he said, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. David said, if I could dwell in the dark, I'd find out that with God, it's all the same to him. You know, it's interesting to me that the last thing that he mentions there is the darkness. And when we as God's people disobey the Lord and run from God and do not do what God calls us to do, you know where you eventually end up at? You end up in a dark place. The Bible said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And there's a lot of times God's people, they end up in dark places. They end up in places where they ought not to be. And you know, a lot of times the reason is because they're running from what God said to do. They're disobedient to the command of God in their lives, and they end up a lot of times, you see somebody and you say, hey, if they're saved, what are they doing over there? They got the wrong pals. They're in the wrong places. And they're in all kinds of awful predicaments. How can one of God's children end up like that? When we say no to the Lord and we do the very opposite of what God is directing us to do, the only other option is in a dark place. But David said, if I dwell in the darkness, it's light unto thee. It's the same. You can go, you can hide from the Lord. You can go down, you know, when I think about running from God or I think about getting in a dark place, I think about getting in a big city. You know, a lot of people, when they're hiding from somebody, they don't go out into the wilderness. They get in amongst a big crowd. And I wonder if Jonah knew he could get down there at Tarshish and just get lost in the crowd and maybe pick up a job doing something else and all like that. But he could not flee from the presence of the Lord. Boy, he's taking some chances doing that. He's taking some chances because he endangered the ship's crew. Look what happened in verse number 4. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You know, sometimes the most dangerous thing in the world is a Christian that's running from God, that's running from the will of the Lord for their lives, that's running from what God has told them to do. They're being disobedient to His call. They're being disobedient to His word. And it always bothers me to hear people talk about, I'm just going to do what I want to do. You ever talk to anybody and that's what they said? I'm just going to do what I want to do. After all, it's my life. Is it really? You don't have a very good understanding of what it means to be saved. After all, it's my life. I've heard people say that. I'm going to do what I want to do. Or they'll say, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not hurting anybody by what I'm doing. You ever heard anybody say that? We all have. Jonah's about to drown the whole ship of innocent men. Don't tell me he's not hurting anybody. What we do does have an effect upon other people. Going to reap something out of it. It's what the Word of God teaches us and tells us. Somebody will say, well, this is between me and God. not anybody else. Or somebody say you ought not to do that. Well, I'll take my chances. Here a whole ship's about to go down. Innocent men, fathers, husbands, they've got families at home. They don't know they've got somebody on board running from God. He's a prophet. He's a servant. You know what bothers me? If he died, he'd be all right. If they died, they'd die and go to hell. Do you notice over there? They were serving gods with a little g. They're a bunch of heathens. But they're all about to go down together. Better be careful who we join up with. Better be careful who we drag along into our idea. Well, this don't bother nobody. I'll do what I want to do. No, it always affects somebody else. Always touches somebody else's lives. What we do as God's children always affects others. If Jonah said, I'll take my chances, I'll live my life, I'll do my own thing. If that was Jonah's attitude. If he said, I'll take my chances and I'll go down here and I'll buy a ticket and I'll get on that ship. If God was really after him, and he was, what do you think his chances were? You know, these people, they make a living on betting and odds. What do you think the odds were that Jonah wouldn't be found out? What do you think the odds were? I'm trying to imagine in my mind, and I read there in verse number 7, and they said, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And I'm not an expert in casting lots, but if it was like dice, you know how if you rub them in your hands, that sound they make? I don't have any, or I'd have brought them. But I wonder if they got together and said, all right, fellas, we're going to find out whose fault this is. And you can hear them dice clicking. What's the chances? You think Jonah might have known down in his heart how's going to end up? Or maybe if they pick straws, you ever done that? Whoever gets the short straw, he's the man. You think Jonah, what was his chances that he wasn't going to get the... If Jonah knew anything at all, he'd have known, my chances are not looking very good. If you and I think that we can go out here and do what we want and it not affect other people or us not be found out or it not matter or God just forget about it, your chances are not very good. You know what the Bible said there in verse number 7? So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. If you was given odds on Jonah, I believe I'd give 0% that he'd not be found out. He endangered the whole crew. And then I look on down next and I see that Jonah is deep in the ocean's caverns. Look what the Bible said in verse number 10. Well, they found out that it was Jonah. These evidently were pretty good men because they didn't really want to throw him overboard. It said in verse number 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. You know, the sad thing is, whatever they were going to do, they'd already, you say, well, it didn't hurt them fellas. They didn't drown, but they'd already threw their living over the side of the ship. It did hurt them too. And they're pretty good fellas because when they found out that he was running from God and it was their fault and they'd thrown their cargo overboard, it's a wonder they didn't just go ahead and throw him overboard then. You know how people get about making money and stuff, and they've all lost out. They were afraid. They said in verse number 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." And look at verse 15. "So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased her raging." You think about that now. Said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We can't do anything else. Lord, we got to do this. Don't charge us with innocent blood." They tossed Jonah over the side of the ship. And there's old Jonah. And you know, when they did that, the sea ceased. The storm was over. The calm came upon them. And here's Jonah out here. Now, I'm just imagining in my mind, I think he probably floated and floundered around for a few minutes at least. You know, we'd all try to stay alive, I guess. And here he is. He's afraid. He's all alone out there. He's adrift upon the ocean. And old Jonah, maybe now he's beginning to think, my chances are not too good of getting away from God. But the Bible said that they tried to row and bring it to shore, so maybe at least land was in sight. Maybe Jonah thought, I'm a pretty good swimmer. Maybe I can make it back to land. It can't get any worse now. You ever seen that movie, Jaws? That's where you put that music in right there. Bump, 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 bump. Bump, 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 bump. And then you read verse number 17. What Jonah said, can't get any worse. Let me tell you something. Don't ever think it can't get any worse. You get out here and you get away from God and you say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to rebel, I'm going to be a prodigal son, I'm going to live it up, live the good life, my life, do what I want to do. And then when you end up like the prodigal son, don't think it can't get any worse. Now verse 17 said, and here's the music playing. Here's Jonah floundering around. Somebody on the ship might have said, hey, Jonah, watch out. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's what the Bible said. Look, I'll skip verse number 16. Let's go back and read it. You know the whale swallowed Jonah, but verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. You know, Jonah did get some fruit out of that trip. But he ended up being his own illustration. You ever heard somebody say, don't end up in the preacher's illustration? Don't live your life. Don't do something. You end up in some preacher's sermon somewhere. Jonah ended up his own illustration. When the men saw the events that had taken place, they changed their mind about serving God. But it's too late then when they seen that big fish come to swallow Jonah up. If you read chapter number 2, you learn that Jonah was 3 days, or chapter 1, verse 17, he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. In chapter number 2 is the prayer that Jonah prayed while he was in the belly of the fish. And when we come to chapter number 2, Jonah had taken his chances and he had decided that the Lord was correct. So he made up his mind in the belly of that fish. You know what? God was right all along. Do you think that I don't believe Jonah ever thought he was going to get out of the belly of the fish. If I read chapter number 2, I think Jonah, he's sort of praying his last will and testament there. He knows it's only a matter of time. But he did decide that the Lord was correct. Let's just read a few verses in chapter 2. I'm almost done. He said in verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about. Even the soul, the depth closed me round about. And the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. And the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Can you imagine the horrible experience? He said the waters compassed me about. He said the weeds were wrapped about my head. You know, I read an article about another man more recently. It was in the 1800s. The same thing happened to him. And he fell overboard. He was on a fishing vessel and he fell off. And a fish swallowed him. And the men on the ship, after hours and hours, maybe even been 24 hours took place, they finally caught the whale and they killed it. And they knew that man to be dead. And they opened the whale up. And to their surprise, he was alive in that whale. But what had happened to him while he was in there was that line in that, what was in the stomach of that whale had eaten all the hair and began to eat the flesh off of his body. It's no wonder they paid attention to Jonah when he got to Nineveh. Can you imagine what he looked like? He went down there and he preached unto them. We know what's happened, but Jonah thinks he's a goner. Jonah's changed his mind about living the self life. And like it said in Proverbs chapter number 30, there's a generation that is wise in their own eyes. You ever run across anybody like that? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I know what's best for me. I want you to read verse number 8 and think about this just a moment today. There's a great message in verse number 8. Look what Jonah said. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You ought to underline that in your Bible. They that observe lying vanities. You know, the beer crowd and the liquor crowd, they'll get out here and say, boy, if you just join up with this, man, you're going to have a good time. You're going to have a good time and you're going to have all kinds of friends and all kinds of good-looking men and women to be around, and it's just nothing but good things. That's a lying vanity. That's an illustration of a lying vanity, something that is a vain, empty lie. But the Word of God says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Why did Jonah end up in such a mess? Because he thought he could run away from God and everything would be all right. But he ended up in a mess. He confessed there, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. God is merciful. But don't you think you can't end up in a mess? Don't you think you can't end up life ruined? Forsake their own mercies, what he said. He said, verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. He said, God, if you'll let me out of here, I'll do it. Salvation is of the Lord. Look at verse number 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land, is what the Bible says. That self life, that good life, that going away from God life that Jonah wanted to live, it wasn't too glamorous then, was it? I cannot read this without thinking about, I heard a preacher preach years ago. And he was preaching in a youth meeting and he was preaching about Jonah. And he said the fish vomited him out on the land. And he said when the whale swam away, he said, preacher, you make me sick. That's not too glamorous, is it? That the Bible even talks about being vomited out. A lot of people think they're going to go out and they're going to really be top dog. And old Jonah ended up in a vomit pile. There's a lot of people, they end up exactly like that. He took his chances, but his chances weren't too good. Yes, he did live. Let's look at the bright side. He lived. The Bible said it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That's positive. That's good. He did go and do what God told him to do the first time. Chapter 3, verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. He did go and do what God told him to do. I'll take you back to chapter 1, verse number 3, and I'll close by saying this. Chapter 1, verse 3, where the Bible said, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. You ought to underline this. So he paid the fare thereof. But that little incident in his life cost him a whole lot more than he thought it was going to. Yeah, I'll just buy me a ticket and I'll go down there to Tarshish. Man, it cost a whole lot more than that ticket. And let me say this morning, that's exactly how sin is. It costs you a whole lot more than you think it's going to. And it takes you a long ways away. And it keeps you a whole lot longer and a lot farther than you ever planned on it to begin with. So we say today, and a lot of times, well, I'll just take my chances. And I especially think about, and my heart gets burdened for our young people. It is a serious, serious thing to navigate through this life. And to get from here to be gray-headed like I am. To get from where I am to get where some of the rest of you are. It's not a thing to be taken lightly. I like what the Bible said in Proverbs 15. The way, I think it's verse number 19, the way of the righteous is made plain. I like them plain paths. I like to know what God wants me to do and then do it. Because everything else is a lying vanity. And it'll take you far, far away. Might be somebody here today. You've been thinking about. You've been entertaining. You've been dabbling with something that down deep in your heart you know you got no business messing with. Better forsake that thing. Better turn to God. Better forget about it, because it'll cost you a whole lot more than you even imagine today. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.